Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions this evening will be taken from the old King James Version of the Bible. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am still thrilled because we are still studying the book of Psalms. And you know, in the book of Psalms, I definitely think that this exposes us to the most beautiful verses that are written in our Bible. And it is worthy to note, my precious brothers and sisters, that King David, he did not write all of the Psalms. He only wrote 73 of the 150 that are in our Bible. 12 were written by Asaph. 2 were written, or at least ascribed to, by Solomon. 1 was written by Moses. 1 was written by Ethan. And 12 were written by the sons of Korah. I strongly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops or tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and you have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, as I like to consider it, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like, for the host of the show has set up a chat room where you can go right in and ask your questions. Now, before we get started tonight, I want to personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. I want to thank you so very much. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So the promise is the blessing if you are a peacemaker. And of course, that is reconciliation back to God. That's what Jesus is talking about. And you will be called a child of God. Jesus also said, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that's taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. The previous Jesus said was taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. This is Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. And Jesus said, again, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the blessing is that if you are persecuted, you will receive recognition. You will receive tolerance. You will receive what you need to get through the persecution. But it has to be for righteousness' sake. Again, Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecute they the prophets which were before you. And this is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. So again, we're talking about the promise is a blessing. If you are reviled and persecuted by others, as long as you keep the faith. So again, my brothers and sisters, the question is, for this hour, are you standing on God's promises? Now, before we get to the study, what I'd like to do is tell you the Bible is written in code, meaning secrets, mysteries, parables, prophecies, proverbs, paradoxes, riddles, and symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that is what our program is all about, studying and learning together. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's get to the study. Now, written 232 instructions for the 150 chapters of Psalms. We're on instruction number 172 tonight. And this is the Psalm we're on, 119. And we're going to look at verse 22, 27, and 29. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 119, and we're going to be looking at verse 22, 27, and 29. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind and pay attention to as I read the verses to you, a request for increase. Now, we know exactly from what I just gave as are you standing on the promises of Jesus Christ or God. We are wanting to increase in those areas. Everything about godliness we want to increase in. And this is how King David rehearsed it to Israel in Psalms 119, verse 22. It says, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. So we want to ensure that we increase in the righteousness of God and not in reproach or contempt. And we want to increase in the righteousness of man and not reproach or contempt. Verse 27 continues to say it this way, make me to understand the ways of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. We want to increase in the precepts of God, my precious brothers and sisters. Continually. Verse 29 concludes the thought when it says, remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. So we want to be truthful. We don't want to be considered liars. We don't want to get caught up in that area of reprobation against God, because we know that liars will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. The book of Revelations tells us that when the Spirit is teaching the churches. Now, let's go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to look and see how Jesus put this in Luke chapter 17, verse 5 through 10. Luke chapter 17, verse 5 through 10. And this is what Jesus told the apostles when they asked him to increase their faith. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus, the Lord, said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and girt thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Do he think that servant, because he did the things that were commanded of him, I trot not? So likewise, my precious brothers and sisters, listen to what Jesus said to the apostles, when ye have done all of those things which are commanded of you, say, we are unprofitable servants to the Lord God Almighty. We have done that which is our duty to do. That's how you increase your faith, my brothers and sisters. You keep God's commandments, and then you ask him to increase your faith. And that is so critical. Now let's go. I'm going to give you the spiritual understanding of this.
You could just
this
imagine what, Jesus didn't feel like it, just like when he was praying.
Before we go to the commercial, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that increase comes from produce. In other words, you shall reap what you sow. And if you sow little, you reap little. And if you sow much, you will reap much. That's what I want you to get from this instruction. Okay, now we're going to go to our commercial break and then return to instruction.
All right, you have to learn to pray. You learn to pray in the same way. Lord, teach us to pray. Now remember, in living this Christian life, you don't have to live it alone. The Holy Spirit lives in you. The moment you receive Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you to give you the power, the strength, the wisdom, the courage to live the Christian life. Now the Holy Spirit also helps in your prayer life. The Scripture says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit helps you to pray. Now, may I make a suggestion? There are so many people that say, well, I don't feel like praying. I only pray when I feel like it. Then you're wrong. You should have a definite time and place every day to pray. You have an appointment. You have an interview with Almighty God. Suppose you had an interview with President Eisenhower tomorrow morning. You'd get up and say, well, I don't feel like seeing the president this morning. Or suppose you were going to be presented to the Queen. Well, I don't feel like it this morning. No, you'd be there. You'd be dressed in your best. You'd go and present yourself to the Queen. Well, every day, God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is waiting. He has given you an audience at any time of the day, and you fail to keep your appointment. Have a definite time that you set aside and pray when you least feel like it. The will is involved here too. You say, I don't feel like it. All right, your emotion, your body says, I don't feel like it. My mind says, I don't feel like praying. My will makes me go and spend time in prayer, because prayer is work. Prayer is work. And many times you make yourself keep your appointment with God, and out of some of those moments come your most precious moments and some of your greatest answers to prayer.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to instruction number 173. What I want you to do is turn your Bibles back to Psalms 119. We're going to take another instruction out of 119, and it's going to be verse 33 through 38. Psalms 119, verse 33 through 38. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Six ways to attain godliness. My precious brothers and sisters, there are so many ways to attain godliness. We want to be very vigilant attaining godliness. And this is what David taught Israel about that in Psalms 119, verse 33 through 38. This is what King David said. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I will keep it unto the end. So God's statute is one way. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Number two is his law. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Number three, his commandments. incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness, to his testimonies, number four. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. His way is number five. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. His word is number six. My precious brothers and sisters, these are six ways that you can attain godliness. All right. Now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament complement and see how Peter says what he did to his disciples, comparing and agreeing. Now remember, there are so many ways to godliness. And I just gave you what David taught Israel, which he covered the major categories, meaning for within God's laws, within his statutes, within his testimonies, within his word, within his ways. There are many segments that can add to your godliness. And this is what Peter says for us today. And this is what we should concentrate on. If nothing else, my precious brothers and sisters, listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. And this is what we should be paying attention to. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now listen to this, my precious brothers and sisters. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, that's a way, virtue. That's another way. Add to your virtue knowledge. That's another way. Add to your knowledge temperance. That's another way. Add to your temperance patience. That's another way. Add to your patience godliness. That's another way. And add to godliness brotherly kindness. That's another way. And add to brotherly kindness charity or love. And listen, my brothers and sisters, here's the kicker. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is critical. So what we want to do is follow today what Peter says, adding to our faith, virtue, and adding to our virtue, knowledge, adding to our knowledge, temperance, and adding to our temperance, patience, adding to our patience, godliness, adding to our godliness, brotherly kindness, and adding to our brotherly kindness, love, and in abundance. When we are performing these and abounding in these, we will enhance our godliness. That is so significant, my brothers and sisters. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, will guide you in all truth, will teach you everything about God, and will bring to your remembrance what Jesus Christ has said about God. That is where we receive the power to get to those attributes I just identified through the Holy Ghost. So you want to remember that you need to have the indwelling, my precious brothers and sisters. That Holy Ghost is the indwelling. Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will ask the Father to send you another comforter, and he will give you what Peter just identified. And that's the instruction I want you to get from this. And now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 174. We're going to look at Psalms 119 again, and we're going to look at verse 42 and verse 46 through 48 to get a complete understanding of what the instruction is telling us. Now, this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the verses to you, to know how to answer those who reproach you. Now, you want to know how to answer those who reproach you? That is so significant. Remember, I just mentioned the Holy Ghost is so intricate a part of that. You need to have that Holy Ghost within you in order to do this better than just happenstance. And this is what David told Israel about it. In 119 verse 42, David says, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. So this is what David is telling Israel. You need this so you can respond to those who are trying to reproach you. And verse 46 through 48 gives us the completeness of the thought. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Remember, Jesus used scripture in the Gospels to counteract the devil. And that was because the devil was reproaching him. So the testimonies of God are significant. Verse 47 says, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. So we know that the first 10 commandments of God that is so, I would say, recognizable to most Christians, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and not have bow down to images, and honor thy father and thy mother, and all of those are very significant, and we need to know that. And with that, we can repel any reproach that may come our way. Now let's go to 2 Timothy. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy. We're going to look at 2 Timothy verse 2, or chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. And this is what Timothy was taught by Paul. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more godliness. So that's what you want to make sure you do, my brothers and sisters. Don't get tied up in contests and use the word of God as your premise for all of your responses. This is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God, that the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God will guide you in all truth and will teach you all things. That's key. And that the instructions from basic instructions before leaving earth, the B-I-B-L-E, will give us voluminous ways to serve God and keep us out of trouble. Okay, now before we go to the next instruction, let us take another break.
Just imagine, Jesus didn't feel like it. Just like when he was praying in the garden, he didn't feel like going to the cross, but he did it anyways. Matthew chapter 14 is one of my favorite stories. It's one of the 34 miracles Jesus performed in the Bible that is recorded. And we believe he performed a lot more than 34, but it's one of the 34. And I want to go through verse 13 and 14. Now, I think it's important to understand the context in Matthew chapter 14. Leading into verse 13, Jesus just found out that his friend, John the Baptist, has just been beheaded. And so he gets this news, and you can just imagine what Jesus is going through. I mean, this is the guy that he had baptized, and this is someone that he loved. This is someone that he cared for. I mean, this is someone that truly impacted his life, that he loved so much. So you can just imagine one of the people that Jesus was closest to, and he gets the news that John was just beheaded. So we start in verse 13. Now when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. Of course he did. He wanted to be away. He wanted to grieve for his friend. He wanted to grieve for someone that he loved so much. And when the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. I want to touch on this for a second because I think it's pretty incredible. So Jesus just finds out that one of his best friends, one of the people he loves more than anyone, just got beheaded, and he wants to get away, so he tries to get away, but there's all these people from all these cities that are following him. So he sees them. And he doesn't say, no, I'm dealing with my own problems right now. I'm dealing with my friend who I just lost. He says, no, I see them, and I have compassion for them. So instead of just trying to handle my own emotions, I'm going to meet other people's needs. And I'm going to go heal the sick, and I'm going to give, even though I really don't feel like it. You could just imagine Jesus didn't feel like it. Just like when he was praying in the garden, he didn't feel like going to the cross. But he did it anyways. Because we don't have to live by our emotions. We get to live by our convictions.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we are at instruction number 175. Let's go back to Psalms 119, and we're going to be looking at four verses, verse 49 and 50, 52 and 54. And this is the instruction I want you to pay attention to as I read the text to you. Comfort yourself in this promise from God. Now, my brothers and sisters, we should comfort ourselves in all the promises from God. And you know, before we get started, every night I read standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ. So these are several that King David rehearsed to Israel in Psalms 119, verse 49. He says, remember the word unto thy servant, unto which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. And we know that the key promise is salvation. That is the one we want to hone in and illuminate. That is the word that causes us to hope that there is salvation. And 52 continues, and it says, I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. And remember, God, through his judgments, shows us the way. The psalmist says, God will guide the meek in judgment. So you want to be guided through chastisement. You want to be guided through reprimand. You want to be guided through punishment. You want to be guided through these forms of judgment that God implements to ensure that you do not faint and lose heart, because these are of God. And of course, the psalmist again, David says, I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself, because you brought those who you had judged out of them unto salvation. Now, this is verse 54 that completes the thought. Thy statutes have been my song in the house of my pilgrimage. And that is key, again, knowing that God says, thou shalt not and thou shalt. These are statutes that we must perform. And they should be the song of our hearts during this jaunt that we're having this side of eternity, because they will bring us into salvation. Now let us turn to our New Testament complement. We're going to go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33. And this is how Jesus puts it, my precious brothers and sisters. He gives us the culmination of why we should stand on God's promises. This is what Jesus says in John chapter 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Jesus has said all of these words. Remember, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God. Jesus has told us these things that we may have peace inside, because Jesus continues and says, in the world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So we know that we're going to tribulate this side of eternity. But we also know that because of one of David's sayings in his psalm, that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. We know again from the promise that David was inspired to share with Israel in that psalm, that these afflictions, some of these afflictions, if not all of these afflictions, my precious brothers and sisters, are judgments of God. And so this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that God is faithful to his trust. If we obey, then we are protected. That God is faithful to his trust if we obey, then we are protected. So standing on the promises that God will bring us out of them all as long as we are obedient to his word. That is what I want you to get from this instruction. Okay, let's go back again to Psalms 119. We have another instruction to take from Psalms 119. We're going to be looking at verse 57, 59, and 60 for those who are following me in their with their Bible sources. This is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the three verses to you. When you think about what to do, think this way. My brothers and sisters, you think the way that the Spirit leads you. And the way that the Spirit leads you has to be biblical. We know that that is our written source of direction, or is our Bible. So the Spirit that's not leading you biblically, then that Spirit is the knowledge of good and evil. And of course, that knowledge of good and evil has been tainted, and it cannot give you correct information to get to godliness. Only the Spirit of the knowledge of everlasting life. That's what you should realize. Now, this is what David rehearsed to Israel about the right way. Psalms 119, verse 57 says, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words." And thy words are in the Bible, and that is our portion. Verse 59 continues. It says, "I thought on my ways and turned my feet immediately unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments." When you are using the knowledge of good and evil, my precious brothers and sisters, you are going to use the ways of the world. And the ways of the world are not going to give you the solace. They're not going to give you what you need to get to God. Only the knowledge of everlasting life is going to give you that. And so that's what we should realize as David is telling Israel that I thought on my ways and turned my feet immediately to thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. That is all inclusive in the Bible. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And this is what Jesus tells us. And this is significant because if we follow Jesus' instruction, we cannot fail. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, don't worry about those things first. Worry about seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and those things will come into play. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that Jesus is the answer. Today, all power has been given to Jesus Christ in heaven and in earth over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as he will. And remember I told you about eternal life. That's the knowledge. That's the Spirit we want to be using and following this side of eternity, not the knowledge of good and evil or the spirit of good and evil. Okay, that's what I want you to get from that instruction. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 177. Again, we're going to be back in Psalms 119. All of our instructions tonight are taken from Psalms 119. And this is what we're going to be looking at, verses 66, 67, and 71. And before we get started, let's take a break.
Israel, also called Jacob, said to Joseph, the one he never thought he'd see again, the dream that he thought had died, the thing that he thought was over. What is your Joseph? What is the thing that you have given up on in your life and you've said the story is over and this is the way it's going to be and I'm just always going to just struggle with this and I'm always going to deal with this and I'm never going to get over this and I'm never going to get victory and I'm going to sing the words to the song but I don't really mean them or believe them anymore because I'm just going through the motions and I'm just going through this. What is your Joseph? Now watch this. Israel said to Joseph, "I never expected to see your face again, and now God has allowed me to see your children too." He's the God of the plot twist. Not only did he let him see Joseph, but he used everything that Joseph had been through to save the whole family. Because he's the God of the plot twist. Not only did he minister to the woman, he sent the woman to go get the whole town. Plot twist. He skipped a meal, but he reaped the harvest. God is the God of the plot twist. Now, who is this for? If this is for you, just tell me right now. Say, this is for me. This is for me. This is for me. This is bread from heaven for me. God said to tell you that there's a plot twist happening in your life right now. He said to tell you that the things about you that you don't like, he's going to leverage them for greater grace to be released in your life. And I speak by the Spirit of the Lord into your life. He is turning things around right now. And you will see Joseph again. And you will see provision again. And you will have joy again. And you will dance again. And you will shout again. And you will go to the house of God again. And you will rise again. And you will breathe again. And you will sing again. Thought I'd never see you again. Israel said to Joseph, it was the plot of ground that Jacob gave to Joseph. Never thought it would happen, but it did. God said, get ready for unexpected blessings in unlikely places. Through weakness, he is strong. In your crushing, oil comes forth.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here's our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's continue with instruction number 177. We're back in Psalms 119. We're going to be looking at verses 66, 67, and 71 of 119. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the verses to you, a good lesson to learn. Now, this is a good lesson to learn. We know we have 66 books in our Bible, and in each one, from Genesis through Revelations, and I'm telling you, from chapter to chapter, or we have hundreds of chapters, there are good lessons in each one of them. And so this is what Psalms David taught to Israel in Psalms 119, verse 66. This is the lesson he's talking about. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. So the lesson is good judgment and knowledge. Verse 67 continues, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. This is so significant, my precious brothers and sisters, that if you aren't afflicted, remember what David said about many are the afflictions, but God handles and delivers out of all. If I had not been afflicted, David said, I will stay astray. My brothers and sisters, that is so key in our lives. That is a good lesson. And verse 71 culminates the thought by saying, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. David attributes goodness to his affliction. And of course, we know that it is called judgment, and God's judgment, part of God's judgment is love. For the psalmist says that God loveth judgment, and part of God's judgment is to be known. And we know that, again, the prophet said God is known by his judgment. So as David says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, meaning judged, that I might keep thy statutes. If we had not, we would not. And that is so key, my brothers and sisters. We need to need Jesus Christ. If we have no need for Jesus Christ, we would not have him. And this is what the New Testament complement has to say about it, comparing and agreeing. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 14 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. And this is the good lesson that Jesus tells us today. This is for you and I, my precious brothers and sisters. This is what Jesus says. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. My brothers and sisters, the reason that this is a good lesson is because we're not talking about the light of the world of worldliness. We're talking about the light of the world of godliness. And that is critical to know, that there are many in the world today that are shining their light of worldliness, and folks are being misled and are overcome by worldliness because of that light. We're talking about godliness. That's the light we want to be overtaken by, because that equates to salvation of our souls. Because the body is not going to go to heaven. It's the soul going to heaven. And we don't want the body to take the soul to hell with it. Okay, so this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That doing the will of God will get you not only salvation for your soul, but advantage in your physical life this side of eternity. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? That doing the will of God will get you not only salvation for your soul, but a advantage in your physical life this side of eternity. Remember, I just told you that Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest will be added. So we will have advantage. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 78. We're going to go back to Psalms 119. We're going to look at another instruction out of Psalms 119. This time we're going to look at verse 73 through 77, and we're going to also look at 79 and 80. And as I read the text to you, this is the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the verses. We should know this. My brothers and sisters, this is what King David told Israel. They should know this. But as a rehearsal, as a reminder, and we know that that's critical, that we must rehearse, we must practice, we need to drill, we need to train. So this is what we should know. And this is what David told Israel they should know. In Psalms 119, verse 73 through 77, it says, thy hand have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Verse 79 complete goes further and says, let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. And verse 80 completes the thought. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I may not be ashamed. We should know this, my precious brothers and sisters, that God has fashioned us in his image and likeness. And because of that, we need to respond to his righteousness and his judgment. That's critical. Now, let's go to John chapter 14, verse 23. John chapter 14, verse 23. And this is what it says in our New Testament complement, and it will give us what we need to compare and agree. Jesus said this, my precious brothers and sisters. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The criticalness of knowing this is super cataphlagic. This is beyond super, my brothers and sisters, that if you keep the words of Jesus Christ, that the Father will love you, and he and the Father will come and make abode within you. That is the indwelling. That is the ultimate knowledge we should know about our this side of eternity position. Jesus and the Father and the Holy Ghost is within us. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the knowledge of everlasting life is key to our salvation. Remember, I mentioned earlier that Jesus told us in the Gospel of John that all power has been given him in heaven and in earth over all flesh to give to as many as he will eternal life. And this is eternal life, to know God as your only true God, know Jesus, his son, whom he has sent, and to know and to receive the Holy Ghost. That is the ultimate knowledge that we should have, that indwelling. That is so significant, my brothers and sisters. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction 179. And before we start the instruction, let us take a break.
Don't watch the wind. Everybody put that in the comment. Don't watch the wind. Because that's what Peter did when he was transcending something that should have caused him to drown, the water. And he was dealing with elements that should have knocked him off his feet. The wind was powerful enough to cause the entire ocean to rock. It wasn't powerful enough to knock Peter down until he watched it, until he put his eyes on it, until he put his focus on it. And man, there's nothing that I believe more strongly than this, that faith and fear are both a product of your focus. And you can choose either one in any moment of your life. And so when we watch the wind and we spend all day just checking stuff that is constantly reinforcing our anxiety and forecasting uncertainty in our future, every once in a while, we've got to take control of our focus. And I just want to make sure you remember that the news is meant to be checked, not watched. The facts are not the ultimate reality for us as people of faith. They're important. Oh yeah, they're important. Like the facts right now concerning this virus, they're supremely important. But I want to know if you believe there's a deeper reality than that that governs your life. Like the hand of God is on you and your family. And I'm just believing for your peace tonight. But don't watch the wind. It wasn't the wind that knocked Peter down. It was the fact that he watched it. It says when he saw the wind. Check it out in Matthew 14. When he saw the wind, he began to sing. It's what you watch. And it's what you focus on. And just remember, you can control that.
I was so
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us look at instruction number 179. And we're going back again to Psalms 119. We're taking another instruction out of Psalms 119. And we're going to look at just one verse, verse 88. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the verse to you. Be quick to keep God's testimonies. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? We must be quick to hear God's testimonies or to keep God's testimonies. The reason being, because we know the Hebrew writer says that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it is cutting asunder to the bone and marrow. And it is also discerning the heart. And it's that which is about the ends of man. And what it concludes, it says that nothing is hidden from God. that he is the one that we must be dealing with. So Jesus himself said it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Now let's read what David rehearsed to Israel. 119 verse 88. This is what David said. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. And we know that Jesus already told us how important love is. Love is where we are pointed straight to God. So loving kindness is so significant, my brothers and sisters, that we must be quick to love. In fact, we know that Jesus again told us that we must love our enemies and do good to those who curse us and bless those who curse us and pray for those who use us abusively, because love is so critical. And that quickness of love is going to generate and give us what we need to avoid and to reflect the affliction and the persecutions and all of the arrows that the Satan throws towards us. And this is now what the New Testament has to say about that, being quick. We're going to turn to James chapter 1, verse 19. Just one verse, James chapter 1, verse 19. And this is what the writer James has to say. James says, wherefore, my beloved, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And that's because that we need to hear the word of God as quickly as we can, because the word of God saves. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that attention to God's word is essential to our success with him. No man is without fault if he responds to his calling, or no man, all men will receive repentance if they are quick to respond to God's calling. If they do not respond quickly to God's calling, then retribution. And we know that retribution from God comes in the form of judgment. And that judgment will be chastisement. It will be reprimand. It will be punishment. And it could mean ultimately destruction. So we must respond to that, my brothers and sisters. That's what I want you to get from this instruction. All right, let's go to the final instruction for this evening. Turn back with me, if you will, to Psalms 119. We're going to take another look at verse 89 through 93, 89 through 93. And this is what David is telling Israel, and I want you to keep this instruction in mind as I read the text to you. Thy word is forever settled in heaven. My brothers and sisters, we have to understand the significance of what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. Isaiah said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which to I sent it. And because of that, ye shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. My brothers and sisters, that is forever settled in heaven. And this is what David said to Israel about that. Psalms 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abided. God has repeatedly had the prophets and other writers tell of his faithfulness. He would say it in this instance with the prophets that his arm is extended still, that a remnant will overcome what those who were judged for destruction were susceptible to, that there will always be a remnant. 91, they continue this day according to thy ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have then perished in my affliction. That is another critical point of God's word, that in his word we find solace, we find repentance, we find faithfulness, we find all of what we need to overcome the affliction that is besetting us at the time. Verse 93 says, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. And again, that is what the word of God does for us. It gives us not only stamina, it gives us resilience. It gives us the ability to come back after we've stumbled and fallen. And this is how John puts it. We're going to go to John chapter 8, verse 58. John chapter 8, verse 58. And this is what the Gospel of John tells us. And this is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. My brothers and sisters, that gives us the totality of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the position of the word is forever settled in heaven. Jesus lets us know that he is not only the way, the truth, the life, and the light, and the resurrection, but he is the only way to the Father. And he tells us that in this statement, when he told the Pharisees that before Abraham was, I am. And this is what it should mean to us, my precious brothers and sisters, spiritually in our lives, that the word of God is immutable and irrevocable. That means that it will never change. And it will never be reversed. Now, what we have to realize in this explanation is that if you do not read the totality of the Bible, if you do not read from Genesis through Revelations, you will not see the entirety, the voluminity of God's word. God said that I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. God also said that my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. That is showing you the totality of God's word. That's the point where you should know that it's immutable. It won't change. And it's irrevocable, that it will not be reversed. Sometimes we think that God said one thing and then he changed his mind. God did not change his mind. God says that I will do this if I want to do this, the way I want to do this. And the last part of what I want you to understand is we must know this to be successful this side of eternity. We cannot have a good, fruitful life this side of heaven if we do not know the irrevocable, immutable word of God. And that's what I want you to get from this last instruction that I have given. Now, my precious brothers and sisters, as we are about to close, this completes the lesson for this evening. And the host and I want to thank you and bless you for your participation and your continued encouragement. Good night.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Earth, before you leave Earth. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Good night.